following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know what? Coaches have been fired, but not the coach we're going to talk to today. They're all riding high.
I'm just damn happy that we got a national championship in D2 wrestling, and there's still a program this morning.
You're right. You're exactly right.
We're going to talk with Mark Bauer, head coach of the national champions UNK wrestling team, in a moment. We're also going to talk with state basketball championship coaches Paul Baronic of Ravenna and Matt Drew of Giltner. There's no question what the most dramatic moment of the weekend was. I didn't get to watch online what happened at wrestling. I finally got to watch this morning Doc's tearful goodbye, and I thought it was shady that there were no questions for him afterwards, which was weird. Tom Osborne went for nearly 20 minutes Friday. We had the press conference here. Doc's out, saw some great basketball, saw a tremendous piece of sportsmanship in the third place game for Minden. On Saturday. I don't know. I know we're going to forget something or not get to something, and if we don't get to it, I apologize. But let's see. We got Jacob Finley being the newest stud and star, and I call it Hornet Heroics now. That will be the name of the film, Hornet Heroics. You got Sadler out. You got the NCAA brackets. Yeah, they're like sixth on my list. Creighton getting hosed. Peyton Manning, where's he going? Denver, really? You got baseball. The Huskers, you got Tiger Woods injured. There's so much talk about Doug Duda, and my cable's out, so I got to work on that.
Well,
I hate that part.
Well, you hate that, but we got enough. You know, you got enough stuff to talk about. You don't really need to go on, Doug. And
where
I thought
I get my Dish Network again.
I feel direct.
DirecTV. Okay, where do I get that?
234-9335. Call the folks at Computer Hardware. They'll hook you up.
Okay, thank you.
I thought the basketball. There was some really, you know, for people to say that basketball is down across the state and there's just not that many good players. If you went down and watched, there were names being talked about. I mean, yeah, people are going to talk about Okoye Igu from Central. There were people talking about players of, you know, certainly UNK caliber players. Norfolk, this Jalen Bradley kid, the Starkle kid, big time. I mean, the old school, the old style Loper players to get this thing back where the Lopers belong, in the top of the rankings, going to national tournaments, going to regional tournaments, doing that sort of thing. Max Cook from Wahoo was one of the kids that people kept talking about. There's a Travis kid from Omaha Gross, Dylan Travis from Omaha Gross. Excellent ball player. Of course, Gazelle's name kept coming up circles. There were people were watching him. People were impressed with him. The Bardsley kid from Beatrice, people kept talking about him. Of course, Gross. Connor Ronnie, people were talking, yeah, from Dylan Travis from Gross. Yeah. There were several good players out there that people kept, you know, when people kept going to different games and seeing different teams from different areas that you hadn't saw, there's some really good players out there. And, in Minden, Max Cook is a really good player.
But in asking many folks that cover not only the high school scene, and I asked Stu this halftime of the A game here on ESPN Radio, Stu Pospisil, talked to Andy Markowski, talked to a few other people that have recruited in Division I basketball. They don't really see many more than the two you've heard, Okoye Igu and Mike Gazelle, being guys that could have helped Nebraska. And that's just Division I, worst team in the Big 12, Nebraska. We'll talk all about that in a little bit, but let's get into our championship Monday. My voice has been cracking up since I got up Sunday morning, and then I went, uh-oh. And as medicated as it is, it's still not back to full strength. And when you come back from any wrestling tournament, you will sound like Mark Bauer. But the good thing is that it's a national championship. Mark, congratulations.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys having me on this morning.
30%. Of the national champions are from UNK, which I find astonishing.
Yeah. And 60% are from the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. So, outstanding weekend for our conference as well. In reference to my job, I was told by many people, if my phone rings while I'm on the awards podium, do not answer it. They also told me that if there was a message left, do not return the call. I want to talk to you. You know, I want to tell you, you want to talk about class. Our athletic director, John McBride, his wife, Karen, our ticket master, our ticket person, Michelle Schmidt, they were a part of the national championships the entire time. And just, I tell you what, that support, our guys know that they were there. John McBride was down on the floor congratulating our guys, pumping them up for every round. And that is the kind of class that is represented at UNK. Not only that, when we came home yesterday to an escort through the community all the way to the university, and I didn't see him at first, but after we were kind of done talking a little bit, there's Doug Christensen coming up and shaking my hand afterwards and congratulating me and all those young men. And it's just an absolute class program to be a part of.
I have to follow it up now with the next question. How the hell did this happen? did you snowball us? I don't think you did. I've talked to a lot of coaches that sometime try to coach speak any member of the media, but I think even you have to be a little surprised at how well your team wrestled this weekend.
You know, obviously they're talented. It's a talented group of young men, a lot of experience. And given in the right day and the right circumstances, anything's possible. We had a coaches meeting Thursday morning, and coach from Minnesota State Mankato, Jim Mikowski, comes up to me in between session. He's kind of quiet, and he comes up and he pokes me in the chest and he goes, "You're going to win this." And I looked at him, I'm like, "Yeah, right." And he goes, "Nope, I got it figured out. You're going to win this." So, obviously is optimistic.
Crystal ball.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But I will tell you this. On the way home, we had a long trip home. We're out in the middle of Colorado, and I get a phone call, and sure enough, it's Jim Mikowski. And he's like, "I'm just calling to let you know I called it." So, great group of young men. It was obviously a great effort on our part. Huge first day. Seven of our eight young men won first round. And then second round, six of those seven won. Two of them big upsets, you know, knocking off number one seeds, number one ranked individuals. That was absolutely huge for us. So, you know, leading, going into the second day, we're ahead 15.5 points. And you sit down and you look at it, and everybody's talked about how St. Cloud had this run second day. Well, if you look at every one of their matchups, they should have won all their matches. And so they did come storming back, but it was expected. We got out the rule book and we were sitting there going, okay, how many points do we get for each one of these wins? And are we going to be in the mix of things? And what do you know, at the end of the day, before the finals, we're all knotted up 91-91. So I don't know how it happened. But obviously very fortunate to be in that position, to come down to the finals and to put the three young men into the finals and have those young men representing us. Those are the three you want. Dalton Jensen, Rafion Stotts, TJ Hepburn. I wouldn't want anybody else out there.
I want to go back to day one when seven out of eight of these guys, seedings-wise, if you look at that and you're looking at who is favored, how many of those guys, how many were upset? The first day,
you know, a great example, 174, Mark Fiala from Seward, Nebraska. He's one of the kids that transferred from UNO. We're losing that match with 20 seconds left, down by two, and he just puts together a couple flurries, takes the guy down, wins the match. I mean, it was just like, wow, I cannot believe that happened. In fact, Coach Swarm had gone down to the 184 match where Brunkhart was at to go watch him. He missed the whole ending, and I was down there just going ballistic because I couldn't believe it happened. So, I think first round, you know, that was probably the one match that we shouldn't have won necessarily, but we did. The rest of them, I thought we should have. Now, going into this regional tournament or national tournament, however, Joey Wilson, our 165-pounder, had not wrestled for a week and a half. He broke a bursa sac in his knee before the regional tournament. Obviously did not have a great regional tournament. Finishes third. Gets put on the side of the bracket that has number one, two, and three in the nation. The bottom side of the bracket was dismal. I couldn't believe it. I'd love to have been down there. We'd have pushed him through to the finals. So Joey Wilson comes in. Can't even bend his knee 90 degrees. I mean, it was bad. Could not get down in his referee, the bottom position, could not get in a starting position hardly. Comes out and stays on his feet the whole first match. Thank goodness we had a freshman. And he picked this guy apart. And so I was like, man, you know, maybe this kid can do it. Second round, number one ranked guy in the nation, Tad Merritt, St. Cloud. We've never had a guy beat this guy. And what do you know? We beat him 5-3, puts us into the semifinals. And so then we get matched up with the kid that ends up winning it, and we end up losing the match 1-0. You want to know why? We couldn't get off the bottom. That was it. Bottom line, his leg had tightened back up again, and we couldn't get him off the bottom.
Mark Bauer, or as some folks in Hastings might think, former Adams Central coach Steve Burton, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. National champions, 107-95, not as close as the first national championship back in 08. Going into the finals, you had 3. St. Cloud State had 3. How comfortable were you?
You know what? I was comfortable. If we win 3 and they win 3, no bonus points. We just tied for the national championship. Again, we got Dalton Jensen, Rafion Stotts, and T.J. Hepburn going out. All 3 of them are favored to win it. All 3 of them. Their 3, really none of them were favored to win it. I mean, their 33-pounder was going up against the number 1 kid. Their 84-pounder, that was a toss-up. We should have been in the finals. We get taken down with 6 seconds left on the clock on the edge of the mat to lose that match. And then their heavyweight had lost to this kid in the finals, was ranked 2nd or 3rd. So again, confident knowing that, gosh, we can at least tie this. If we can get some wins, that'd be fantastic. You get 4 points for a win in the finals. So both teams could have get a max of 12 points in the finals. And obviously we started it off right. You know, Dalton Jensen going out, picking up a huge pin, picks up 2 extra bonus points. And then TJ's match, it came down to that match because if he wins, it's over after Rafion wins. And he does it in very dramatic fashion, picking up a huge pin. Their 2 pins alone would have been like having another guy in the finals winning a match. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just obviously huge. Now, I will tell you this. You referred to the margin of victory here. Travel Delagnev sent me a text, and it said, "You guys only scored 107 points to win the national championship." He said, "We won in 08 with 108.5. Yeah. He goes, "I don't care if we won by half a point. We had more points. We had a better team."
Bring it on.
So the debate has already begun. Who had the better team, 08 or 2012?
See, we get to ask Coach Baronic later on about the Ravenna alumni 2006 versus 2012. Now, as great as all of that is, it's a team effort. You take the 8, you had 4 more All-Americans.
Yeah, we had 4 more All-Americans. I tell you what, they all went out and wrestled hard. Our 197-pounder that we talked about, he's the one young man that did not win a match. He honestly, a freshman going up against 2 seniors, he looked like a deer in headlights. He wrestled the number 1 ranked kid who ended up getting upset in the finals first round, and it was not a good start for him at all. But other than him, Mark Fiala finished 8th. He started the tournament off really strong. I don't want to say he was content with what he, you know, earning All-American honors. He went out and wrestled hard still, but I felt like his technique kind of digressed a little bit as the event went on, and I think that was a struggle for him a little bit. But you know what? Getting in as a sophomore All-American, he's going to continue to be a leader in our program, obviously. He was first team All-Academic this year and just a phenomenal student-athlete. 4th place, Joey Wilson out of Half Moon Bay, California. Joey finished, I was at 4th the year before as well. I think he finished 4th twice for us. He came back, lost to Tad Merritt in the 3rd and 4th place match, but again, 2nd day, he couldn't bend his knee at all again. And it was just really, it was a tough thing for him. It was tough on me because you never want to see a senior go out with a loss at the end, and that was tough. And then you got Ross Brunkhardt, who has actually just been a phenomenal story in our program. He actually, after his first year, was going to quit. He's just like, "This is crazy. I don't want to do this stuff." His dad and mom call us up, and he's like, "He's making the worst decision of his life. He's got to keep doing this." I want you to know, I pointed that out to him at the end. I'm like, "You know, you almost quit." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." But, you know, picked up a big win at the end, beating Keck from UCO. Ross Brunkhardt was ranked 1 in the nation preseason and was not ranked coming into this national tournament. And so he put together just a phenomenal finish. We had a little bit of a scare right before he left. Kind of tweaked his knee a little bit. Didn't know how it was going to affect him. But I tell you what, he went out and battled. And again, he was 6 seconds away from being in the national finals. And again, Joey Wilson, 4th place finisher, lost 1-0 in the semis. He was that close from being put in the final. We could have had 5 guys in the finals.
Okay, with all this going on, one of your assistants gets a call that he's the head coach at Kearney High. Well, take us through that.
Ty Swarm, name Ty on Swarm Friday. Name.
We had a big week. Or I tell Thursday. You what, it really started off on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I went down to Lincoln with Visitors Bureau, Roger Jasnock, and Rich Broderson to kind of put our final push on for these NSAA duels, National State Duels. And we get back, and I get a phone call from Ron Higdon. He's like, you got it. You guys impressed them. It's exactly what they want. And so that was kind of how the weekend started. It was exciting. Anyway, I walked in that day, that morning in Lincoln, and Dr. Maher, I'd met Dr. Maher, and he came up to me, and he shook my hand. And he goes, Coach, what are you going to do for an assistant coach next year? And I'm like, oh, boy, I'm losing my assistant coach, too. So I'm excited for Ty Swarm. I tell you what, he's been my assistant coach for 10 years. He was very content with where he's at and what he was doing, but this is the right move for him. It is a great decision on the part of Dr. Maher and Jay Dostal to high school. You could not ask for a better person to take over for Tom McCann, because he knows what it means to be a part of a great program. And I'm not trying to break my arm or pat my back saying that we have a great he knows how to run a program. And even though it's kind of a bittersweet thing, I hate to lose him, but I'm so excited for him. I'm so excited for the wrestling community here in Kearney, because he is going to be a great leader for the young men that are coming through Kearney High program.
Mark Bauer, UNK Wrestling, with us here over the last minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. Would it be feasible that the new assistant coach at UNK could have been a finalist for the Kearney High job, maybe coaching high school wrestling in Colorado?
Yeah, well, we'll just have to wait and see. I my biggest obstacle there right now, obviously, is the financial part of it, because we do not get a lot of money for an assistant coach, and it's, you know, that's why it's been such a great job for Ty, because, you know, Ty Swarm was actually taught and worked at Kearney Youth Rehabilitation Treatment Center, and so it was a good fit for him. It was a great fit for us, obviously, and but we're just going to have to see where things are going to fall out here. I do know this. Dalton Jensen's going to be a graduate assistant for us for the next 2 years, with the hopes of continuing to be a part of our program. He's getting married this summer to a lovely young lady by the name of Brenda, and I want to see them continue to be in our community, so there's definitely a lot of positive focus and energy going that direction as well.
Mark, I want to know, with UNO shutting that program down, I think people thought, well, some of those kids are going to come to Kearney. I mean, you build enough momentum now. Are you the favorite in D2 or one of the top two or three teams for the foreseeable future to be the power in the sport?
That's a great question. I will tell you this, on my ride home.
That's what I asked.
On my ride home, I got a phone call from a four-time state champ out of New Mexico who says, I'm ready to sign with you guys. So, you know, obviously being successful, everybody wants to be a part of something successful. I believe success breeds success, period. I think one of the questions that's popped up, you weren't a one-hit wonder any longer. You know, you won in 08, now you've won in 12. You've kind of proven, and that's exactly right. I really believe that what's going on here is very special. Things are going really well for us, and I think that we've kind of proven ourselves that we have a program that are producing young men. Rafion Stotts, great story. Kid started wrestling as a junior in high school. I mean, he's only been wrestling like 5-6 years. He just won a national championship for us. But when you're in a room with a guy like TJ Hepburn pushing you every single day, you got one of two choices. You're either going to step up and get real good, or you're going to pack your bags and go home.
You're going to have a lot of
TJ Hepburn
mat in the face.
Going to get in the octagon now.
Yes, he is.
March 30th,
he is.
A little fight.
You know, he did a little fighting before he came here, and I know he's won a couple fights, and he's excited. I'm all fired up for him, because I tell you what, I would not want to line up across from him. No way.
Friday, March 30th, that's going on at the Viero Event Center. This email coming in from El Conquistador: if success breeds success, Daddy, would you please get after it?
Thanks, El Conquistador.
Mark, incredible job. Everyone's jumping up and down. And do we have the finals coming back here?
You know, eventually we will.
Nothing set in stone.
You know, from the experience, yeah, there's nothing set in stone. This next year is the festival year.
Oh, God.
They have promised us this, though. We will not be going back to Houston. We have no clue. We went through an NCAA meeting. They wouldn't even give us any indication at all.
How was it?
Where it might
How
be.
Was the facilities and what?
You know what? It went really well down there. You know, tight fit. They only had seating for about 1,800 people, but I tell you what, stands were full. Finals, they ended up opening both sides, about 3,200 plus. It was packed. It was a great, probably one of the most exciting finals I've ever been a part of. If you haven't had a chance, and I know it's probably online, you need to get on the 197-pound finals match. The most exciting finals. This young man from Adams State was losing. I don't even know what it was, like 11-5, and stormed back and knocked off the number one ranked kid. It was, his name's Luke McPeak. Get on there and watch him, because it was, the place was rocking. He's a former Marine, so everybody was up chanting USA. And, you know, of course, I'm at first like, why are they chanting USA? He's from Adams State. And come to find out, he's a Marine. So that was kind of a neat and a very special, special moment for Adams State.
I've always been a huge fan of Adams State College, where Stan Gable, Revenge of the Nerds, I love that college.
Wow. 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 That is a great way. That is a great way to bring us to an end here. From losers to winners. Hey, Mark, congratulations from all of us here. And just keep up the good work. We always appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Doug.
Mark Bauer, UNK, national champs once again. We're going to talk to some state champs. Matt Drew of Giltner joins us when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you oil. No, we work to bring you deals. Like a Pennzoil conventional oil change special for just $20.99. Plus, come to Advance Auto Parts now and register to win free gas for one whole year. Repeat after me. Free gas for a year. Service is our best part. Advance Auto Parts. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit advanceautoparts.com/Pennzoil for program rules and to enter.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Say soccer. Hey coaches, the Golden Spike Soccer Tournament in Council Bluffs promises to be a great experience with new, beautiful fields for youth recreational soccer. Plenty of planned activities both on the grounds and nearby downtown. Plus, it's May 11th through the 13th, the same weekend the Union Pacific National Railroad Museum is opening a brand new exhibit. Sign up two teams by March 22nd and get a $50 Visa gift card. To register, go online at cbysa.org.
Let the madness begin.
Deron Lamb, right corner for three. Got it! Two huge threes for Deron Lamb, and Kentucky leads by five, 69-64.
The 2012 NCAA tournament is on the Westwood One Dial Global Radio Network. From the first round to the Final Four, all the action is right here.
Catch every game on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see some lingering cloudiness around the area early on today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with highs up in the mid-70s. Winds out of the west-northwest develop at 10 to 20. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 41. I'm Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy's Show, where all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK. Tuker sandwiches, just $4 every morning for breakfast, served daily until 11 a.m., and you can get some of their Seattle's Best iced coffee, which might be flowing out the old drive-thru this week, as beautiful as the weather is supposed to be. Just get a firm grip on it, though. A little windy out there. BK, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. Daddy, how'd they do it?
Win another state title as they
How'd they do it?
Giltner trying to win another state title as they did 1 year ago. And if it happens, it will be extremely memorable. 1.9 left. To the free throw line is Dustin Hastings. And Hastings is going to have to hit this one just right. They're going to try to tip it out to Finley off the miss. The free throw, no good. Ott tips it into the corner. Finley's got it for three at the buzzer. It's good! It's good! The prayer is answered!
For the second year in a row, a three at the fourth quarter horn. A year ago, it won it. This year, it made it go to the first overtime. Eventually, a double overtime win for Giltner. And head coach Matt Drew joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he has done throughout the last couple of seasons. Matt, congratulations. Are you still shaking your head?
Oh, yeah, we're still all kind of in shock, very happy. Haven't slept a lot the last night or two or whatever it's been. Seems like it's been a long time ago already.
Matt, you thought this was an uphill battle, and talking to you right before the game, you thought maybe you were the underdog in this one going in, and they had the lead on you.
Oh, yeah, you know, we had our opportunities in the first half, and, you know, we just weren't shooting the ball very well. We shot 80% from three in the semifinals, and we only hit two in the championship game. I mean, the one was obviously very important, but we weren't exactly lighting it up from the free throw line. We're not always great free throw shooters, and Howell just seemed like they were going to close the game out with their good free throw shooting.
Matt Drew with us here. A physical ball game, 12-10 at half. It was a defensive game, but as you said, the shots weren't falling. You mentioned to us last week how much the kids were hoping to get a chance to play Howells because of what happened the last 3 years in football. So once it finally materialized that you were going to play Howells, which nobody knew until about 10:30 on Friday night, could you get a sense in pregame what the adrenaline was like from your team?
Yeah, I think there's a different kind of intensity level. I think it showed on offense, on defense. On defense, we had great effort. On offense, I thought we played a little tight. You know, we wanted to do everything perfect. You know, Drew really wanted the game, and the guys almost overly tried to get it to him. So, you know, he played well. He could have made a few more shots, but you know, he dominated on defense. I don't know how many times he intimidated them with the shot blocking. They missed so many layups just because they're scared to go at him.
It's one thing to have to miss the free throw, but to have it fall right and then everything to go right like it did. But to get that bounce, and when Drew was through over the back and they didn't call it, and he threw the ball out there, what was going through your mind? I mean, obviously that's the way that any coach would draw it up.
I want to go on. The timeout was called. Was everything executed? Did you draw it up that way? Is that what the plan was?
Yeah, we had, you know, Kreitz. We told both our guards. Kreitz was one, and Jake the Ruskin Rifle, he was the other one, and he dove to the corner. We told him to dive to the corner, and then Drew was supposed to tip it away from himself, and Trevor Poppin was on the other side. He's supposed to tip it to Kreitz if the rebound went his way, and then Dustin was supposed to miss it, and I don't know. He wasn't supposed to miss the first two, missed the first one, but I don't know how he missed it that perfect. That's not something, you know, we're not college coaches. We don't practice that much. You just pray it kind of works, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I don't know that Drew was over the back, but he made sure there was some separation when that ball went off the iron. Just a great athletic move. And, of course, the amazing thing is what set that free throw up is that the three gets blocked. It kind of sets there. It comes back into Howell's hands. And Hastings then throws up the three and gets fouled. And that darn near went in for what could have been a four-point play. And as you said, Matt, missed the first one, and that kind of set up all the dramatics. Then you guys got a four-point lead in the first overtime and couldn't hold it. Take us through the first and second overtimes. I mean, this game isn't over. It's just tied after that.
You know, that shot goes in, and then you have that huge break right in there, and you're just kind of sitting there. And, you know, Coach Velva does a great job. He was getting the boys concentrated. And I was just trying to, you know, and kind of yelling at the refs that it was in, we should just keep going. And, you know, they didn't reverse it. And, you know, the first overtime, we jump off that four-point lead, and then we miss a layup, and you're like, well, we missed that layup. Maybe karma's going to catch up to us finally because we've been so lucky the last 2 years. But, you know, they get in more foul trouble than us. Their guys fell out, and that it really allowed us to dominate the second overtime.
Great, great win. Unbelievable finish. But when everybody calms down a little bit, a half hour afterwards, and you realize not only was it a great finish, we're taking a trophy, another trophy back to Giltner, But Kreitz, Ott, and Poppin graduate. It was their final game. Just the emotions that went through you.
Oh, you know, you hug those guys. You appreciate everything they've done for you. You know, it's been a great 4 years. All four of them have really bright futures. You know, Pop's got a full ride to UNL with his computer engineering. Drew's going to Iowa, and I think Ethan's going to Hastings College to hopefully play some more basketball. So, you know, they got bright futures. Hopefully this is just a small part of their lives. But, you know, I'll always remember those guys, and hopefully I influence them in some way positive.
You know, Matt, I don't usually say anything quite this off the wall on the program, but considering the way the last two seasons have ended, are you thinking about maybe retiring, kind of going out on top?
No, I'm not quite yet. I can't quite afford it yet, so I have to keep working, I guess. But, you know, it's been a great run. We got a lot of guys coming back next year, you know, with Coach Ashby here and Coach Bell, but it's a great experience, and we really got these guys that taught the younger guys how to lift weights, and we really got it rolling right now.
Matt, the way the game started, like Doug said, 12-10 or whatever it was at halftime, and it was just low scoring. Did you like that? I mean, when you went to half, were you saying, come on, guys, we got to get this thing going, or were you content with that score?
Oh, you know, I was content when it was 9-2. I was really hoping maybe we just blow them out, you know, but you know, you get there to 12-10, and you look at how many shots we missed. We weren't hitting anything outside. You know, Bell and the kid played great defense on Ethan. Usually he gets a few more open looks because they have to worry about Drew, but Bell and I really stuck with him. And, you know, we're just telling our guys, keep shooting. I think Jake was 0-3 or 0-4 at half. And the same thing that kind of happened at Wynon, and we were eventually able to hit shots. So you're mostly just doing confidence for the guys.
Yeah, nice 16-0 run to turn that thing around against Wynot, who was a pretty good team, and that was a pretty good third-place game with Loomis. You can, folks, if you watched it on TV, you've heard our radio call here on ESPN Radio, and if you watch it on TV, the talk about the replay, they have three cameras, one on both the baselines and then the view that everybody saw. He does such a great job, Jacob Finley, of keeping his foot inbound by just micro-inches. And, Matt, I don't know. I went to YouTube today. I was trying to also find the TV call. I haven't got that done yet. But somebody, it's got to be an administrator, does the old phone thing. And, folks, he's like, there's Jacob Finley where the shot is. There's the bench, and he's standing at the end of the bench. And we've got it up on our Facebook page. So it's the best view of the entire play, except that you can't see in anything exactly when the ball's released. How many times – I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. How many times have you watched it, and are you very confident that that shot got off? Our opinion here is there's no way you could have overturned it.
Oh, that's kind of the way I looked at it. You know, when it happens during the game, I thought the buzzer – I thought with the sound part of it, it was out of his hands easy. You know, the more you watch it on TV, you see the light come on, and you're like, pretty iffy. I'm going to say it was off because I'm the coach. But but then you kind of look at when the lights come on, it still has 0.1 on the clock. I mean, there's almost three different times that you're going by: the sound, the light, and then the clock. So, like you said, I think if they would have ruled it no good, you probably would have had to stick with that. But they ruled it good, and I think you had to stick with that. I don't think you're ever going to get it right. I'm sure if you're from Hal, there's no way they got it off, and that's just the way it goes, I guess.
Well, the Hornet Heroics continue for a second year in a row. Thanks for the great memories to you and the kids, Matt, and hopefully there's some more great memories ahead for the Hornets. Thanks so much for the time, and again, congratulations on the state championship.
Yeah, thank you guys. We really appreciate letting me on the show and stuff, and you know, we have a great community, and we appreciate you guys' support.
Thanks, Matt. Congratulations.
Yep,
enjoy
you.
It. Matt Drew, state champion, champion number two coach on the show today. Paul Baronic is going to join us from Ravenna here in just a moment. But go to our Facebook page, ESPNSuperstation.com. All you got to do is like our Facebook, and the link is up there to watch that shot. And it was incredible. You can watch it there. And again, here's what it sounded like.
And Hastings is going to have to hit this one just right. They're going to try to tip it out to Finley off the miss. The free throw, no good. Ott tips it into the corner. Finley's got it for three at the buzzer. It's good! It's good! The prayer is answered!
Unbelievable.
We were talking great finishes when we saw it together, Doug. And
I automatically, and folks, maybe you can fire into the Dent Popper inbox here. I couldn't give you 10 more memorable moments, so it's in the top 10 moments in the history of the state finals. I mean, the play is in the top 10 plays in the history of the state finals. What did I do Saturday when we saw it? I rattled off two, and I can't even remember. Wahoo Pius. God, I don't even remember the other one I told you. And there's a couple that I remember in my head that I can't remember who was exactly. I think Hildreth was playing somebody. There was like 0.9 on the clock, and they threw a baseball pass that either it went in or it missed. But there was like 0.9, and there was a shot there at the end. Obviously, the Wahoo Pius is still number one. Ogallala, that was a semifinal. I think they dunked off the opening tip, wasn't it? Woolridge's performance when he scored 50 or 52 against Hastings in the final.
But moments.
That wasn't just one moment. Oh, the other one was the miracle at Pershing, the Lincoln East Papillion 2 second. That's and the Pius, the miracle on Vine is what they refer to it as, I believe, or something like that. You can YouTube that one. It's on the Hall of Fame website as well. And that, where they have to go the length of the floor and the ball's going out of bounds and they throw it back behind their back and the kid catches it, one-hand jump shot from three-point range and knocks it down at the horn. Mo Iba's doing the color for 10-11, and it's maybe the greatest shot in the history of the state finals. That probably, I mean, those are top three. Those are top three, I think.
Maybe you've got another one for us. Shoot us the Dem Popper inbox, 888-455-3776, or email us at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com.
Yeah, what's your finals moment? Most memorable finals moment? You can send us to the Dem Popper inbox. Doug, spell out the word and, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. How about this? Ethan Kreitz, you had the greatest moment in Giltner history for 1 year. For 1 year. Ethan, you're two.
It's going to go 1-1A. It's going to go 1-1A. I think
well, the first one's always the most memorable, right?
Yeah, I think Ethan's the one that put him on the map. By the way, this just in, according to the Omaha World Herald, Doug McDermott has been named a first-team All-American by the Basketball Writers Association. So
we hope to have Steve Pivovar on to preview the Jays Tuesday or Wednesday. We're live at Cunningham's for the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12 Thursday and Friday. Creighton's game is at 12:40 on Friday, and then coverage of all of the games starting tomorrow with the play-in games. We'll get to that much more tomorrow. Don't forget, though, folks, get on our website and sign up for the $50,000 Doug and Daddy Bracket Challenge. You have a chance to win $5,500, a 42-inch big screen from Russell's Television. We've got some great items that are already rolling in. As we've done in the past, we've done it on the ESPN site. This is different. A couple of things. It's different, so you have to fill out your form at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's right there on the front page, $50,000. You click it, you sign up, and you fill out your ballot. Now, you can only put in one entry per person. Other rules, you have to be 18 and a legal resident of Nebraska. So you can fill one out for you and then fill one out for your wife, or she can fill one out. But you can't fill one out for your young kids because they're not 18. So there's a couple of things you need to know, and you can only fill out one per person. But get on there, get it filled out. Yes, it might be pretty hard to get 50,000, but you know what? Somebody's got to win, and maybe it's you.
And somebody, the first non-cash prize, our friends from Russell's Appliance, 42-inch TV. How about that?
Yeah.
42. How about second? Boston Acoustics, CD radio alarm clock. Sells for around $500. Second place. Folks, it's bigger and better than this year. Yeah, you can't put 10 entries in and say, I want an oil change. Well, come on. You had 10 entries in it, bozo. One entry. It's perfect.
Sheet of integrity.
There you go.
Daddy and I will be releasing our sheets later on in the week. Again, I've looked it over. I've browsed it. I have a couple I like. But I'm going to tell you already, after watching the selection show and then driving yesterday, listening to all the analysis, everybody's got everybody upsetting everybody. I can't figure it out. We're back with Paul Baronic, head coach of the state champion Ravenna Blue Jays, after this.
Say soccer. Hey, coaches. The Golden Spike Soccer Tournament in Council Bluffs promises to be a great experience with new, beautiful fields for youth recreational soccer. Plenty of planned activities both on the grounds and nearby downtown. Plus, it's May 11th through the 13th, the same weekend the Union Pacific National Railroad Museum is opening a brand new exhibit. Sign up two teams by March 22nd and get a $50 Visa gift card. To register, go online at cbysa.org.
Hey, Golic.
Yes, Greeny.
I was just on CapitalOneCup.com checking the Capital One Cup standings.
Oh, yeah? Who's in the lead now?
UCLA is up on the women's side after winning the volleyball championship and a top 10 finish in soccer.
Way to go, Bruins. Who's leading on the men's side?
Tight race. Alabama, North Dakota State, North Carolina. Three-way tie after the fall championships.
Wow. So with two more seasons of college sports, it sounds like any school could make a run at the trophy and a combined $400,000 in scholarships.
That's right. Don't forget, fans can vote for the Capital One Cup Impact Performance of the Week at ESPN.com/CapitalOneCup.
Live from Progressive.
Let's take another call.
Hey, Flo, ever wonder if you offer too many discounts?
Never. Homeowners, Safe Driver, Snapshot, Pay in Full. Right now, we offer more discounts than ever.
Doesn't that seem a bit excessive?
Wait, is this Bill and Tom from another insurance company?
Hang up.
Busted.
Getting you all the discounts you deserve. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
When I told my buddies I was picking Butler to make it to the Final Four, my friends just laughed. So tournament time came around, we all head down to Cunningham's Journal. As my wife might say, my home away from home. Cunningham's has what any bracketologist would want. Wireless internet to do your research, awesome food, a bajillion TVs, and the coldest beer in town. Anyways, there was Butler in the final seconds nailing a buzzer beater, and guess who's laughing now? So fellow bracketologists, when it comes to tournament time, make Cunningham's Journal your home away from home in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some lingering cloudiness around the area early on today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with highs up in the mid-70s. Winds out of the west-northwest develop at 10 to 20. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 41. I'm Paul Frobley. Right now, it's 52.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Saturday, St. Patrick's Day. Are you kidding me? Hockey going on, Fodder Park going on.
Might be wild.
Yeah, there might be some stuff going on. NCAA tournament going on. The women's selection show is tonight. Right now, ESPN Bracketology has them as a 7th seed, still going out playing Maryland in the second round. They've got Creighton in as a 13 seed after winning the Mo Valley Conference. They weren't in until they won that yesterday. So wherever you're headed and wherever you're going, maybe even now that the vacation time might be here, you've follow the kids all around fall and winter, and before spring gets really going, you're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll do it the right way with a brand new or pre-owned vehicle from the Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They have been named the best new and used car dealer in the Best of Kearney Reader's Choice Awards. It's their 25th anniversary at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, and they're celebrating as the number one volume dealer in central Nebraska, and over at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the number one volume size A dealer in the Midwest. It's a great year, and it's all because of you, the customers who are satisfied with everything they do at Midway. Maybe you just need to get through with a Mopar Quick Lube, in and out, less than 30 minutes, don't even need an appointment. They're there for you with great certified techs, always learning the very latest to make sure your car or truck or van is running in tip-top shape. Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Doug, initially, I don't think there's any doubt. I think those guys on TV are getting so good and putting the numbers together and understanding the game. The committee, did anybody, you could say Drexel, Iona, Washington, but there was nobody up in arms. I did not hear one. I can see that point. I mean, you heard people going, well, I can see that point, but here's another point. Point, counterpoint deal. Well, the committee seemed to do very, very good this year.
By being able to add four more teams the last 2 years, I think it has settled down that debate about who should get in and who shouldn't. Northwestern puking on themselves in the Big Ten tournament, that didn't knocked them out of the tournament. I think there was a lot of teams that got knocked themselves out of the tournament. One other thing, do you realize that the only number one seed to win their conference tournament is Michigan State? Three of the four, including Kentucky and Syracuse, who had one loss, both lost and didn't win their conference tournament. Kentucky, now they break it down. Everything's going to be broke down so fine. Everybody says the only way Kentucky can win is because, or lose, is because of their youth, if somebody pushes them a little bit and they fall under the pressure here. But you've got Michigan State, a number one seed, and then three of the four seeds are from the Big Ten: Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Purdue is a 10 seed, and Ohio State is a number two seed. So five of the six teams that get in from the Big Ten are top four seeds. That's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, they said the best conference top to bottom in the nation. So, you know, you get rewarded for that, although, not top heavy. You have Michigan State and Ohio State coming down. I know people in the Big 12 are up in arms. Kansas, Missouri, they thought both of those were very, very – but they get two seeds, and you got to play them sometime now anyway.
I think – the more we go on, the more the seeds are overrated. Now, I think you do want to be a top two seed. If you had a gripe between being a two and a three, I can see that. Georgetown doesn't want to be playing a Cinderella like Belmont. Florida State doesn't want to be playing a healthy team in St. Bonaventure. You know, Marquette has to wait to play the winner of the play-in game, and last year that killed somebody when VCU got in as the play-in winner.
You know, that's the amazing thing to me. Florida State just slays the giant in North Carolina. Well, Florida State, everybody's going to be so hyped on Florida State. Florida State, you're going to hear about them all week long. ACC champion. Not only did they beat Duke and North Carolina each twice, oh my gosh, how good are these guys? All right, they're a 6-point favorite over St. Bonaventure. They think that one's going to be a 2-possession game or less.
We've been talking about, we talked with Matt Drew about Giltner's state championship, and of course, we've decided that that 3-pointer tipped to Jacob Finley that he made to send the game into overtime is one of the top 10 moments in the history of the state finals. And here's one from a number one and number two fans. I would say my favorite finals moment is when Big Daddy was listening to his Walkman. Now see, today that would be, you'd be listening to your what? iPads, iPhones, things like that. But he was listening to his Walkman with a towel around his neck before the game, intimidating the opponent. Way to go, Big Daddy. Your record's still intact. Love the show. Number one and two fans. And Paul Baronic, the head coach of the Ravenna Blue Jays, one of four teams to complete a perfect season by winning a state championship, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Three of the last 4 years, state champions. And, you know, here's something that's pretty impressive as well. 11-1. The last 4 years at the state tournament. Coach, thanks again for the time, and congratulations again.
Well, thanks for getting a hold of us again. Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate with some of the runs we've had here lately, and, you know, we're going to be happy with that. We're not quite as exciting as the Giltner wins, but, you know, I don't know if my heart can take any of that. So it's hard to just win only by 10, and I'm kind of selfish that way.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm trying to think of a Ravenna moment at state. I know the one that sticks out in my mind. What's the Ravenna moment, not just this year, but over this 8-year run, that sticks out in your mind? Is there a moment that does?
Well, you know, probably would have to be, you know, Connor's 227-footers there, you know, when he's a freshman. You know, that's always one that still kind of sparkles my heart a little bit when we watch the replay of that. But, golly, there's a whole bunch of them. You know, our first one, when Drake and those guys were juniors, that's a good moment too. So,
Yeah, the 27-footers would be the one that comes first to my mind, Daddy.
Well, Paul, they did play. You know, everybody thought this was going to be a 30-point game. I asked four people before the game how many points, and I think I was the middle guy with about 18. People said 15. People said 21. They played you. They played you tough. They played you physical down the stretch, and did get it back to five in the second half.
Yeah, you know, they're a little more athletic than what maybe shows up on film, and then what showed up, you know, in the first couple games. But our kids knew that we were in for a battle from the get go. So we were, you know, definitely not going to be taking anyone lightly, because. Again, all you got to do is, you know, watch some of the conference tournaments yesterday, you know, and you know, I was watching those, and it did make me feel like, you know, basketball is a weird game, you know. It's just, you better be ready to play, and you better be happy when you do win, because it doesn't come around as easy as some people might think.
After the first round game, where you were surprisingly, shockingly, I'm sure if this score was announced at the other venues, behind 11-0 to Johnson Brock, and I asked you about it after that game, but how did things change with your team after falling behind 11-0 in the first quarter, not only in that game, but maybe preparing for the semifinals?
Well, I just, again, another wake-up call that people and teams aren't going to just lie down because it says Ravenna on your jersey, and they shouldn't. You know, we understand that they're motivated because they get a chance to knock off a alleged giant in C2 basketball. But you know, you just better be ready. And tournament basketball is a weird duck. You know, you can watch. You know, even Omaha Central is sitting there going, you know, how did we, you know, survive some of the things that we survived. And you know, they're just amazing, you know. So it's a weird deal, that state tournament. And we talked about it's history makers and history breakers, you know, all in 3 days.
Paul, one thing about your team going down there, I said, well, you're going to have to stop one of the big three, which nobody could really do. They scored their points, but then when you got people like Mark Cremosta, Garrett Irvine, Trace Armstrong played well in the final game. When those other kids fill in and play their roles and are able to knock down some open shots, I really thought that was the key to, if those kids are going to do it, you're going to stand on the other sideline shaking your head going, this is going to be a real uphill battle.
Right, and when those guys do that, you know, they've been playing with a lot of confidence lately, and you know, and you throw in, you know, Sid Teichmeier the same way in the semifinal game, you know, and he hit one too with the fact that at a big point in the Harding to CC game. So we've counted on them guys all year long, and they understand their roles. And I've had, you know, coaches around will say, you know, your kids understand your roles better than anybody around. And we do have that. I'll give them that. But when those guys do it, we expect them now to step up and alleviate some of the pressure from the big three, and then see them succeed that way is really, really cool. Not only for them, but just, you know, anybody else that would say, you know, how significant am I or how insignificant? Nobody is either or. They're all significant.
Final moment here with Paul Baronic. After winning their third state title in the last 4 years at Ravenna, it was great to see Tyson Anderson kind of shake off the shooting woes that he had against Sutton and in the first round, and had a good semifinal and final. And of course, you see what Saborn does with an 11-point quarter, and the kids were jacked up for that final. I guess the one question, everybody was bringing the emotion into play after that game, because there are so many things that are ending that go with this state championship. Now that you've had a few hours to kind of soak this in, did your emotions get the better of you, I guess, or are you starting to realize what this great group of kids did? And a lot of people believe that the run now ends. 8 years, I mean, what do we have, 10 years where we had a Baronic on the floor? I mean, it's been an incredible run.
Yeah, you know, for some people that's good news, bad news, however you want to look at it. Sometimes I look at it good news, bad news. You know, there might be better coaching next year by our staff, because we're all hanging in there. It ain't like we're done with somebody close to my loin has gone out of here. That doesn't make any difference, you know. So, you know, have I set back and looked at this is from an emotional standpoint. Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of still walking in a fog today, so much that even my principal asked me, are you okay? You know? But it's a weird deal. It's a lot of things. Like you said, it's the culmination, it's the closure, it's the winning. You know, you're happy, you're sad. It's the last group of guys that you've dealt with since, you know, kindergarten in some cases. And there are a lot of ups and downs with it, you know. But I don't know, you know, you better stop being selfish and, you know, that kind of thing and just take for what it's worth. And that's a pretty cool deal. And I need to be reminded of that in a lot of cases because sometimes people just take that stuff for granted that's been bestowed that honor. And again, you know, we've been very fortunate here. 3 out of 4, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would really, really like to do that. And we talk about the wish list a lot. You know, people sit in the stands and wish they could do this and wish they were in this. And people do that, and we need to be reminded that there are a lot of people that sit there and go, man, that is something special. And that's how we're really looking at it. We came home and watched the replay down at Flashback, so there was a gob of people in there, and they were hooting and hollering like the game was still going on. You know, there's a replay from 4 hours ago, you know, so it's a pretty special deal there in Urbana, and we're gonna ride that pony as long as we can.
Paul, one of the real smiles or great moments of the tournament, I think, happened in the semifinals when Amon scored. Everybody on that bench came off of it, and everybody was having a good time. That little guy has got a lot of energy.
he does, and he emailed me the first thing when we got back about how special it was for him to be on the team. He appreciated the 9.7 seconds he got in the championship game, where it meant the world. Where it meant the world to him, you know. And yeah, and, you know, it's funny. And I chuckled too, you know, for somebody to get 9.7 seconds and remember how it is, and then we'll remember that 9.7 seconds where some people don't get any seconds. He understands the greatness of the time and the feeling that he had, and he will cherish that for the rest of his life. But, you know, when our guys celebrate when Amon banks one in or makes one, that's just what we have. We're very fortunate. Everybody roots for everybody, and it's a special group that way.
Finally, Paul, with the 9 seniors leaving this ball club, for the folks that have not seen junior high or what the class size looks like, and maybe a preview for all the folks that are going to watch Urbana, and you've got some crazy fans. I didn't want to forget that. What are you looking at for next year with the Jays?
Well, the Jays, we lost 2 games in JVs, which Coach Shermer and Coach Mays and Coach Bazna do just a tremendous job. We lost 2 games. We lost a JV game to Gretna. Not bad. Class B. We'll give you that. And plus the numbers game with that. The other game we lost was to Donovan Trumbull, which happened to have one of their varsity players playing on that JV team at the time, but just was ineligible for the rest of the, you know, varsity first part of it. So we lost 2 quality wins there, or 2 quality games, and played some very, very good teams that we felt. Now, how that plays out, you know, who plays what and who plays this, and as far as the varsity, who's got coming back. But nothing's going to change for us. We're going to do the same things. We're going to, you know, run them in and out next year, probably a little bit more. And our junior high, both 7th and 8th grade, went undefeated. And again, Coach Bassett runs that program, and that guy just loves those junior hires. So that's what we've got kind of coming up. So maybe the cupboard's a little dry, but we're going to replenish it with some new vittles, to say.
Well, I thought it was interesting after the final game when it came up to Connor and he said, "Big Daddy, I wish I could have given you a run." and I said, "Oh, everybody talked about that, but I said, you're holding the trophy right now." And he said, "Yeah, I'm doing it with my friends." And he said, "That was what was number one." And I that's a credit to him and the team approach those kids take.
Well, it's amazing. I listened to their interviews too, and they all said some very, very special things about, you know, Drake's group, James Habe and Tyler Samore, you know, kind of paving the way for him in 2005. And we wouldn't be here because if it wasn't for those guys, you know. And Trevor, you know, again, he wouldn't be there without any of his friends to celebrate it. You know, they put the individual accolades aside, you know, and just say that we want to do it as a group. And there's no better feeling. And I wish everybody could experience this feeling. You know, we've been very, very blessed.
I wish everybody could experience a coach like Paul Baronic. That's what I wish.
Paul, we appreciate the time. Last question. There was some big-time smack talk going on Thursday and Friday night from one James Habe, one Kulwicki kid, one oldest Baronic kid. They're talking about the throw of the gloves 2006-2012. It better be carried on the radio. We want television coverage. Alumni tournament. I just simply told them this year's senior class has a trophy. So, you know, just shut up. Yeah. I'm taking 2012.
I've heard some smatterings about that. It could be a big radio event, with those guys going head to head. But those guys are so out of shape now; they can't even dribble, and they just dribble. That's all they do. They drool and dribble.
That is so great. We'll get about an 8-man reffing crew, including Big Daddy and Jimmy Langan over there. Paul, we'll let you get back to work, and again, we'll congratulate you on a great run, and looking forward to working with you again next season, and we'll see you at track.
Well, I appreciate that and all that you guys do. You're a couple of my favorite guys of all time. And again, all this crud that goes on with winning is you get taken away from the guys that really have been by you the whole time. And it was important for me to cheat the system a little bit and get over to you before they took me away and shoved me into basically a concentration camp, basically, of reporters and media. But the ones you really want to get to and the people that you really want to thank, kind of get shoved off to the side, and I apologize about that. But it was important for me to make sure that got done.
No, Paul, thanks so much. Enjoy it, as always.
I will. Thanks, boys.
Take care. Paul Baronic and all the coaches, love working with them. They're great. We couldn't do our job without them and the athletic directors and all the sponsors that allow us to bring you high school sports, and just to thank you there. And it's not all about the finals before we go into our last break here, Tony. So, some other moments from the tournament that I don't want to get lost in the wash here. I thought C1 was such an outstanding field. Every team deserved to be there.
Hershey's going to be back with Dustin Jorgensen, I can assure you of that.
They got a lot of seniors on that team. I mean, I look at the teams that stayed home in a St. Cecilia and Adams Central, a Kearney Catholic. Yes, definitely they could have taken Hershey's place. But you look at those teams. I mean, they were such great games. Those semifinals were absolutely unbelievable. Minden had 3 minutes to start the second half that didn't go their way, and Wahoo made them pay for it and got out to a lead that Minden collapsed to and dropped it from 14-3 and had the ball, and it just didn't happen. Any other day Minden plays like that, they're going to win the basketball game. Boys Town and O'Neill St. Mary's, I don't know how they won state championships. They were heart stoppers every single game along the way. Scott's Bluff denies South Sioux City and the state's best senior, Mike Gazelle, a third straight state championship. Omaha Central, they struggled in the first game, and in this championship, they're behind at halftime in the championship, and then just made Omaha South look like a 3-20 team in the second half. Just some amazing Loomis, the game that they played in the first round. And I got to go back to the game that Overton played, which looks more like a boxing match than basketball, against Humphrey St. Francis through no fault of their own. It's just... I've never obviously had to participate in one of the Tom Crop throw all the benches back and there's no out of bounds, where the court is two times the size. That's what that game between Overton and Humphrey St. Francis resembled to me. And for them, just not able to finish it off. I mean, they were as good as anybody in that D1 field based on that game. And again, Loomis, wow, that was a heck of a game.
Was there a moment in the Minden consolation game you wanted to share?
I talked about that at the top of the broadcast. Carson Bloom went into the state tournament and stepped on a teammate's foot and rolled his right ankle, rolled his ankle pretty bad on Tuesday. He played pretty good basketball on Thursday. And then Friday, right off the bat, got rolled up again and actually tweaked both ankles and was a non-factor for most of the first half, and then scored 20 in the second half to try and bring him back. And then at the start of the consolation game, the coaches got together. They said, you know what, Carson can't play, but we'd like to get him recognized here. Could we let him score the first bucket? We'll reciprocate and let you guys score one. It's 2-2. We'll call a timeout and take him out of the game. We're not taping him up. We're not doing anything. And they told the refs, and Newman won the tip. Carson Bloom's a kid that jumps ball. Jump center, but of course he couldn't. Newman tips it to Carson Bloom. they let him lay it up and go the other way. And you may think that's corny or whatever, but you know what? It was kind of a lump in the throat moment for a kid that is just a really good kid. I don't care how good of an athlete he is. He's a good kid. And it was just a pleasure to cover all of these teams, basketball, boys, girls, wrestling. It was a great run. We saw some great stuff.
Yeah, we can go down the seniors. The Minden's got a lot of seniors. Those kids are moving on, but it was a really fun state tournament. And you mentioned Boys Town athletically. Lincoln Christian is shaking their head saying, we should have knocked them out in the first round. Then the second round, Bishop Newman was right there again to knock them out. They just kept going. And you know, mentioned O'Neill St. Mary's. I think all three wins by a total of 6 points. I may not have that correct, but right around there. That's amazing.
We will take a final break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, folks, get on our website and vote for which team should have made it into the tournament. Our ESPN poll question of the day, which team that didn't get in most deserved to make it? Drexel, Mississippi State, Northwestern, Seton Hall, or Washington? You'll accumulate points that are great for prizes like RFA tickets, Doug and Daddy t-shirts, Cunningham's, buy one, get one lunch free. Some of our votes from last week, which team will go furthest in the state tournament? Ravenna got 71%, but they ended up being a tie with Mint Giltner because they were both state champs. And where will Peyton Manning play? They didn't think the Cardinals, the Dolphins, or the Seahawks. They must have known that it was going to probably be the Broncos. We'll take a break and wrap it up. Comment on Doc Sadler right after this.
Say soccer. Hey, coaches. The Golden Spike Soccer Tournament in Council Bluffs promises to be a great experience with new, beautiful fields for youth recreational soccer. Plenty of planned activities both on the grounds and nearby downtown. Plus, it's May 11th through the 13th, the same weekend the Union Pacific National Railroad Museum is opening a brand new exhibit. Sign up two teams by March 22nd and get a $50 Visa gift card. To register, go online at cbysa.org.
Stop into Lowe's today and take advantage of great savings for your home, like 10% off major appliances $299 or more. And you can power through March with DeWalt Days at Lowe's, where you'll find great values on your favorite DeWalt tools, like an 18-volt drill for just $99. That's a savings of $90. Plus, you can pick up a DeWalt 18-volt cordless compact drill kit for only $199. That's a $50 savings. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through March 19th. See store for details.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-hour energy. When you gotta get stuff done. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Your St. Patrick's weekend at the number one Irish pub in the Tri-Cities. Patty O'Malley's on the Brinks in the downtown Kearney Center. Opening bright and early Friday and Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And the first 20 people in the door get a free O'Malley's t-shirt. They'll have big green pitchers for just $6 and many shot specials both days. On Friday, Irish stew served from 11 to 2. Party with all your friends this St. Patrick's weekend at the number one Irish pub in the Tri-Cities. Patty O'Malley's on the Brinks, downtown Kearney.
Out here, we know that most luck comes from hard work, goals, and sticking to it. We live in a place where great ideas meet great passion. And a hard day's work isn't just for some days, it's every day. Where the people support business and agriculture, and business and agriculture support the people. Creating a culture where anything is possible. That's why we're proud to have been born and raised here in Nebraska. By Valley State Bank and Trust, your financial center, member FDIC.
Money, money, money.
$50,000 brackets are open for registration. The teams aren't selected yet, but you can get a head start by signing up for Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Super Brackets with $50,000 at stake for the near-perfect bracket. Brought to you by Bud Light, Cunningham's Journal. Other cash prizes range from $5,000 to $500 for qualifying picks, plus rewards for top pickers and top of the brackets. Brought to you by Bud Light, Cunningham's Journal. Complete rules online when you sign up at ESPNSuperstation.com.
We'll see some lingering cloudiness around the area early on today. Otherwise, look for some sunshine to develop with highs up in the mid-70s. Winds out of the west-northwest develop at 10 to 20. Tonight, we'll head back to a low of 41. I'm Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Mr. Mav says, how about a shout-out to those of us heading to Sioux City for the NAIA Final Four, three GPAC teams playing in the Final Four. And, of course, Jarek Pearson of Gibbon and Bailey Morris of Sandy Creek on Concordia, the number two team in the country. Well, enjoy your time, gang. Let's see if we can bring back a championship for some of those young ladies.
Maybe you weren't at the state tournament this weekend. Maybe you're kicked back on that recliner from Bruce Furniture. Comfortable. As always, check them out. They've got what you need. They'll deliver it when you need it. You need it. You need a room set up for the big dance this weekend? They'll have it done for you. They'll deliver it this afternoon if you're around. Whatever you desire. That's what they'll try and do for you at Bruce Furniture. You've got an in-home trial period. Once you make the purchase, they'll check it out. Wife comes in and says, no, not that color. Take it back. They'll get you one. No big deal. They'll replace it for you. No cost for that. That's what they do at Bruce Furniture. They just want to satisfy the customer. They're just right for you. Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, out west, the Lions. Stop in today.
Folks, the games, what did you think about the ones that ended up in Omaha? It starts the first game. If you're going to Omaha, they tip off at 1:10. That's 2 hours, I believe, later than the last time it was in Omaha. I think they went right away at 11:10 or 11:30. But it'll be Florida and Virginia, followed by Missouri and Norfolk State. And then the evening session starts at 6:25, Purdue against St. Mary's of California and Kansas against Detroit. So you get one Big Ten team. You get two Big 12 teams.
You get Billy Donovan.
You get St. Mary's, who a lot of people think is an exciting team. Virginia's on the up and come with a name coach there.
I think having Kansas and Missouri there, obviously, that's already sold out, and tickets will continue to be scalped and sold at higher prices. But those two teams going there, they're going to flood and they're going to infiltrate.
The only downer for Omaha, folks of Omaha, is that Creighton's not playing on Thursday. Is what they were hoping is that Creighton would play on Thursday. I think Creighton got a raw draw. They're better than an 8 seed. I don't understand that at all. Don't understand it at all. One of the Creighton fans actually pointed out to me as I looked at this, he said that they are an 8 seed and they played San Diego State, right, in the Bracket Busters?
Long Beach State.
They went to San Diego State earlier in the year, beat them, and San Diego State is a 6. And Creighton, I mean, I don't know what they did wrong. 28-5, they won the tournament. They were second in the. I mean, they were second, and everybody's loved Wichita State. They're a 5. There's not that much of a gap between Wichita State and Creighton, is there?
And by the way, San Diego State, that powerful 6 seed, also 1-point underdog to North Carolina State.
Well, and you look at Creighton as well. Tough draw with the 8 seed. You never want to be the 8-9. It's so tough to beat the 1. When you only have that day really to prepare what everybody says, you get some time, you get to play them in the second week. If you're you'd so much rather be a 10, I think, than an 8. But then you'd have to play North Carolina in Greensboro on Sunday. Are you kidding me?
Talk about uphill battle.
Although it would be great to see him get out of there. I like that side of the bracket because I don't think Temple, Michigan, Ohio, I think Creighton's as good as any of those teams.
I think
on a given day, yes, folks, don't be yelling. I'm saying on a given day.
Now, obviously, when they get bounced in the first round, this whole segment's going to sound stupid. But Missouri looks to me to be. I see Florida and Virginia there. That's fine. It's just one of those deals advancing on. I don't see anybody that strikes the fear into the heart of the Missouri Tigers right now, as athletic as they are.
We'll break it down tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to be talking with folks that cover these teams that are coming to Omaha. We're going to be talking with some folks from Colorado State, as you've got Wes Eichmeyer, Jesse Carr, the two kids from Ralston that are all on the Colorado State team that made it into the Big Dance. And we're going to preview them and a whole lot more as the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on. And don't forget, go fill out your brackets. They're there today, ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, your thoughts on the Doc Sadler firing?
Well, you knew it was coming. That was the deal. And once again, Tom Osborne had the meeting. Down the stretch, they had to win some games. They weren't able to do that. Continually got blown out. There's just left them in a bad position. He talked about the momentum being gone. Once again, everybody likes Doc Sadler. Everybody hopes Doc Sadler gets another job because he's great around kids and great at building relationships with the support staff and whatnot. My deal is that, okay, you're going to fire Doc Sadler. That's fine. Mark Boehm, when are you going to be responsible for something?
Yeah,
that's a bad deal down there. If he's going to still be around, he hasn't been there for anything good that I can think of.
I'm hearing that the hiring will not happen right away, probably not before next week after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament pass, as they've got names on the list and they're looking after him. Alan Osborne, national champ in indoor track. Congratulations to him. The Huskers will practice again this afternoon, second time this spring. Nebraska Danger football at home tonight against the Omaha Beef, one of the league's best teams. So the Danger getting tested early. Kickoff at the Heartland Event Center is set for 7:05. And Nebraska baseball just underway on a glorious day with a little wind at Hawks Field, trying to get a win and split that series with Cal, who made it to the College World Series last year. Loper baseball and softball both went 1-3 over the weekend. Hastings College baseball went 2-1. And I guess, Daddy, we are way over time, so we need to get on out of here.
Well, you know, we'll be back tomorrow. Like you said, we'll be breaking down the brackets. We'll be talking to people. We're efforting Colorado State. I'll effort somebody from Detroit, many people think.
Might have a DeArmond on from Missouri.
Oh, I wonder if he still likes us or if he's mad at us.
Well, us or you. So there you go. Tiger, get well. Ty Swarm, look forward to him being the next Kearney High wrestling coach. And we're going to talk a lot more about the NCAA tournament tomorrow, plus the women's bracket. Will Nebraska, everybody's kind of now conceded that they'll be a 7 seed, although I think they should be just a tad bit higher than that. We'll find out. If they're a 7-6 would be so much better. We'll find out. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Thanks to the champions today, UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer and state champion basketball coaches Paul Veronica Ravenna and Matt Drew of Giltner.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial. Our friends in Hastings, we'll see you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.